It is 5:45. We call it the best 5 minutes of the day. It usually runs about 7 or so. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com from his home in Eau Claire on the line with us. Thanks for joining us for some consecrated conversation early in the morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad it's Friday. This has felt like a long week to me, I think, because this is the first week I've seen patients in clinic all 5 days.
Uh-huh.
A long time. So, yeah.
Nice to meet you for coffee yesterday at 11. That was nice.
It was. It seemed a little too quick.
Yeah.
But it was good, as always, to catch up a little bit.
So I'm curious. Our friend Perry likes, I mean, he doesn't like flavored. He's a big coffee nut, but he doesn't like flavored coffee. My wife was a big fan of the vanilla hazelnut that I brewed for her before work. So are you, you've already had, I'm sure, your cup of coffee this morning, or you're already imbibing. So are you flavored or non?
I do both. I prefer non-flavored. Usually I start with a cup of or a pot of intense French in the morning. But when I get to work, I make Highlander grog.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so I go both ways.
All right. Very good. Hey, Our friend Larry Crabb, he's got a new book coming out in July. And I imagine it's interesting. It comes out the day after his birthday. He turned 76 on July 13th. We teamed up to send him a big box of goodies last year for his birthday.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, yeah. But he's got a new book coming out on July 14th, so we would it'd be fun to talk with him about that. Anyhow, he's got a post from New Way Ministries, so that maybe we could grapple with that for a couple moments this morning. Yeah. It's from his book, Real Church, and here's the quote. It says, it's about finding contentment in wanting what Jesus wants. A hunger for truth, says Crabb, will lead to a focus on formation. You'll want to want what Jesus wants, to think what Jesus thinks, to choose what Jesus chooses, and to know the contentment in the middle of a trouble-filled world that Jesus knows. You'll yearn to be more spiritually formed, and you'll welcome the painful adventure of walking the long, narrow road to life. Any initial reactions to that, Jason?
Yeah, you know, listening to that, I see elements of that in myself, that longing to become more Christ-like, and yet I also see elements within me that are really fighting against that notion. The notion of transformation as believers, of becoming more and more like Jesus, is really one of our principal earthly tasks, right? And yet, I think everything in the world around us bids us to go the opposite direction. It's not about becoming transformed and becoming like Christ. It's about finding comfort and material comfort, success, that sort of thing. And so it almost seems like it's a divergent road, and we have to daily choose the road for transformation.
Well, I think when you say that, let's bring up just a classic verse that Christians everywhere point to, John 10:10, right? Jesus himself says that Satan comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so we agree that that's frequently quoted, right? We agree that Jesus said that. So what did he mean?
Yes.
Because it seems like there's an American understanding, maybe even possibly, I might dare say, an American church understanding of that. And yet, what do you think he really meant?
I think the abundant life, the full life, is life, a life that is filled with love, a life in which we are reflecting Jesus to the fullest possible extent, a life characterized by true other-centeredness. And I think part of the problem is none of us actually believe that that's the abundant life.
Because we're looking on the outside, right? I mean, kind of the
right,
we blend
yeah.
in the American dream with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. And, you know, it's not just Americans who are guilty. You know, I think any system of thought, any system of any worldview, I think we try to syncretize stuff we see in the culture with our faith. And then we end up coloring our understanding of what Jesus was saying by coloring it with the lens of the majority culture rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding that becoming like Jesus is our principal goal.
One final thought then, and I was just somebody reached out to me, used to live in Eau Claire, is down in Kentucky now. And so we connected and had a good conversation yesterday. But part of it, when he said, how are you doing? And I thought, you know, I think I've drawn closer to the Lord since the pandemic. And just when these kind of global trials have been thrust upon us, or national crises in terms of the development since May 25th. And that was encouraging to note, because, I mean, the bottom line in life is getting to know God, most importantly, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I think that we just need to keep pressing into that, mm-hmm. to know Jesus more.
Right. Have you faced the same thing? I mean, would you say, as you did a quick assessment of yourself during, from mid-March on, I mean, you know, as much as we can complain about the challenges and the difficulties and the hardships, it kind of in a true James 1:2-4 sense, these trials really are working for our good in the most important upper room sense of having a relationship, a better relationship, closer walk with Him, right?
Yeah, I think for me, part of it is because it's the last several months have dismantled my comfort.
Yeah.
And so I've been more willing to wrestle with God, and I think He honors that. You know, when we wrestle with Him over our confusions and what makes us angry and sad, and in that regard, I agree. I think I've drawn closer.
Well, enjoy some more of your Java. Have a good day, seeing patients, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, Jason Kanz from jasoncanz.com. Have you checked out his book yet? Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. It's based on John 13-17. Come on now, you've heard him on the radio long enough. Go get his book. Learn more again at jasoncanz.com. It's Hillary, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
How's Grandpa Wayne?
He's resting comfortably at the moment.
Good. Okay, you saw to it.
Yes. No, he's good. He's good. You know, the first week is always the hardest, and I'm sure that he has no idea that I share all this on the air.
Yeah.
Honestly, his leg looked noticeably better today when I was putting on his compression stockings morning before work. So, you know, I'm hoping today will be a good day.
Absolutely.
So I am very tired. Nothing's going to send me running straight back to coffee faster than this. I'm not even kidding.
That's not bad, though.
I'm not even kidding. Is it not bad?
I mean, it's just an enjoyable treat.
It's not the coffee that's the problem. It's the quarter cup of creamer that's going into it. But I've started, I put skim milk. I use half skim milk and half creamer. Uh-huh. So I think that helps. But
all right.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, Juneteenth Day. And again, mm-hmm. I've heard different people talking about, some people have been saying it's the end of slavery, or what it was is the final slaves finding out that they
were free,
had been emancipated, mm-hmm. and more than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed. So that's really something, right?
Yeah.
How quickly we get information these days.
Right. Did you see the Harriet Tubman movie ever?
I did. Right.
Incredible film.
That was
film.
Really good.
Incredible
yeah.
film. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. It is also, everything kind of pales in comparison to that. Mm-hmm. Now, it's also flip-flop day.
Flip-flop day. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still kind of wearing my flip-flop things, because I'll be honest, I was half asleep when I walked out my door and I forgot to change out of my
sandals, which I have on. Ones that were not chewed by a dog.
Yeah.
But anyhow, dealing with it. It is also Ugliest Dog Day, so that
now,
seems mean.
What's your feel on that? Is that like an ugly dog, or is your dog ugly in your eyes because she has destroyed?
Oh no, I love Athena,
okay.
and you can see I'm still.
You're still sporting them.
The back brace was broken, but they're still wearable, and I can
duct
still
tape on there and fix it right up.
That pops off, but I mean I have to latch it in as much as possible.
Yeah, no.
But anyhow.
Max is a good-looking dog,
yeah.
If I may say. He's a good-looking dog.
There's a story we didn't share yesterday that dogs are smarter than cats. We could maybe dig that one up again.
I believe.
Yeah, we can share it, and you can take it home for
Dean. I got a prime example of that this morning.
Okay.
Yes, let's delve into that. 7:15, that's coming up.
All right, sounds good. We've got it. Here on WWIB. And then we have our headlines, and we have a guest, Mike Rambo and Kat Jacoby at 8:15.
Rock on. It'll be a full morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you.
WWIB. And don't forget Father's Day on Sunday. We'll find out after 7 if there's things that Hillary's dad's. I guess we shared that a little bit at 8:45 yesterday in terms of.
I have more to share on it,
okay.
though. It's okay. I always have more.
I was thinking of taking you up on your invitation of, hey, if you want, rent a dad. in terms of. And so I thought I would. And
if you want to rent him, it has to be for a night shift right now.
I don't know if like could if he could go out for coffee, but if he could, and I thought, what would I ask Grandpa Wayne if I went out? My first question would be, tell me some things about Hillary. So that would be all right. Thank you.
Okay, two things. You're now not allowed to go rent my dad because the information. No, seriously, though, when he's feeling a little better, you go for it.
Yeah, I think we could have a good time together.
I think you would.
Well, dogs and cats, which one is smarter? Scientists have been studying this. And it turns out a dog's bark is only a rough means of communication. Instead, we should be looking at its wiggles and squirms. Yes, okay. Jumping really? Up, rolling over, lifting paws. It's all doggy behavior that makes them so endearing. But they're actually trying to talk to us. Researchers from the University of Salford in Manchester, England, have been attempting to figure out what humanity's greatest friends have been trying to tell us all these years. And the results have been published in the science journal that Caleb subscribes to, Animal Cognition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the findings of what dogs are always saying is either I'm hungry or I love you.
I love you.
Yes.
One of those two.
Surprisingly, there's 47 different potential gestures they use in an attempt to communicate. They've managed to translate 19 of them.
Wow.
Surprisingly, most of them mean scratch me, not feed me, though that's right up there.
Aww.
Huh.
But others communicate your canine's desire to go outside and play.
I would say that my dog is definitely more communicative than my cats and hands down smarter. So we have this special needs cat. I mean, she's not really special needs. She got electrocuted once. She's never been the same. Okay, that's a story for another day.
Christmas tree. I remember that story.
Yes. But she's just so odd. And she loves my husband. She's obsessed with my husband's. So, and he has been trying for years to teach her how to open a door. Because most cats can do that. If the door is open just a crack, you know, sure. Just a little bit, they'll like hook their paw on it and pull. She has never, ever, ever mastered the skill. Okay? So this morning, I'm getting my dad ready. I'm getting myself ready. I'm starting my day, whatever. The door to our bedroom is swung closed. The cat was in there. I'm on my way out the door. I'm like, okay, I just got to pop in and give Dean like the morning instructions that he needs to know, you know, little information. I go to walk into the door. I swing the door open. I whack my husband in the head with the door.
Ouch.
I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like all crabby. He's standing there in his underwear all crabby because I just hit him in the head with the door. He's like trying to teach a stupid cat to open the door. I was sleeping. She was pawing on the door. So I was trying to, I'm like, okay, A, sorry, I hit you in the head with the door. B, yeah, she's not that bright. C, yeah, I got nothing. Have a good day. She is not a bright cat.
Maybe by the time you get back, she'll have learned.
We've been trying to teach this cat this skill for years.
So many Dean stories have him clad so minimally.
Other than grilling, we have established
yes,
that.
Yes! Fully clothed when he's cooking.
Hey, bottom line, dogs versus cats, who's smarter? Dog owners say their pets are smartest because their pet is loyal, joyous, and can be trained. Cat owners say their pet is smarter for the exact opposite reasons. It appears the raw brain power goes to the dogs. Their cerebral cortex is particularly dense. So there you go.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. 103.7 WWIP.
It is that time of week once again where we bring you all the things you may have missed from news, politics, sports, if they're around, in pop culture, and we give it to you in condensed form. We call it headlines. Here we go.
After recovering from COVID-19, a guy in Seattle got a hospital bill for, get this now, $1.1 million. Now, I got to tell you, that is some expensive Jell-O.
Good, though.
The good hospital Jell-O is expensive, yeah. According to a study, fish can actually recognize you, which is why, guys, it's just one more reason why it creeps me out when they serve the whole fish with its eyes staring up at you, little beady eye.
Scientists found a pair of leather shoes over 5,500 years old. And guess what? They still smell like feet.
Yeah,
need some odor eaters.
P.U. Hey, Starbucks will close 400 locations. Any chance they could leave the Wi-Fi on?
That'd be nice. Twitter may be adding emoji reactions. That'll get a thumbs up from the White House.
Cha-ching. A couple of restaurant owners in Thailand have been given 723 years in prison for a scam involving seafood. They should have moved to the U.S. We don't actually expect our fish sticks to contain real fish.
Right.
That's just odd. A scam involving seafood, right? Hey, Sunday, Father's Day. That's the day that stores get rid of all that strange stuff that didn't sell the rest of the year by putting a label on it that says, perfect for Father's Day.
Sold! If you have laryngitis, whispering doesn't help. A study revealed that whispering strains your vocal cords as much as yelling. It's a fact that librarians are always trying to hide.
It's a vast conspiracy. And another study has concluded that chocolate is good for the heart. So in case of an emergency, just place a chocolate chip under my tongue.
Please.
There you go. Anytime. Hey, finally, summer begins tomorrow. That's right. Here's an interesting fact. The core of the sun is thought to be around 27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
Which coincidentally is the exact temperature reached inside your car when left in a parking lot for an hour
in the
summer. Isn't
that the case? Yeah.
Truth. Remember the old vinyl seats and they'd be like blistering
don't wear
hot
shorts
in the summer?
On those.
Oh, that was the worst, friends.
Those are your headlines and now you're all caught up.
Open up the floodgates.
Lord, we pray according to your word in Isaiah 45, that your heavens would rain down your righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open up. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. For you, you the Lord, you created it. Lord, establish your kingdom here in this place. We want you to reign in this place.
Open up the
Alvo and Hillary and Caleb here, but joined in studio by Mike Rambo and also Kat Jacoby, who's back from her co-hosting Monday and Tuesday.
I can't stay away.
Bearing gifts this morning, so thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
So I think peanut butter M&M's,
I was just like, wow, she just knows.
You were speechless.
Yes.
Well, we did have a conversation.
We did.
But we were just listening to the collective choir, and Mike Rambo pumped up. Not only tonight, you're going to be a part of the Juneteenth virtual celebration. We want to mention that online. Yeah. But then also June 30th at the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited. I was talking with the director at the Heidi Center, and I think people are thirsting for some sense of normalcy, some sense of hope.
Amen.
And Jesus is the hope of the world. And so inside of these tight times, even with the Juneteenth and with this outdoor concert on the 30th, we really feel this is a time where people are going to be listening more intently. And we're excited to bring the gospel in song. And, of course, for the believers, like Paul said, to encourage each other daily with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We need to have the melody of Christ in our hearts more than ever when we're faced with all sorts of shouting voices.
I mean, I think about in Job, right, when he says, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. And exuberant praise is what I see and hear from Collective Choir all the time. And if there ever was a time when that's needed more, to see the church be the church in being the hands and feet and praising no matter what storm we're in, it's now. And I'm super excited to see what comes of these events today and in 11 days.
In 11 days, yeah. So it's going to be, with singing, we realized we wanted to keep people outside. So we're going to set up in the parking lot, and there's going to be a food truck from 5 to 7 on the 30th. And at 6 o'clock is when the music will start. And it's really going to be kind of a homegrown feel and a connective feel in the parking lot. And it's going to be just a great, great community vibe. So
wonderful. Yeah. And I got to say, I was blown away. I saw you guys a couple months ago. It seems forever ago. Yeah, it was like in February. Yeah. It was before everything
that
shut down.
That was such a blast.
Kat got up there. She wailed. It was amazing. I was like, Kat.
Her voice has been compared to Lauren Daigle.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was like,
Lauren Daigle,
blown
I love you.
Away. Girlfriend.
Thanks. Well, we had so much fun dancing, and that's something I can say about Collective Choir is the community is unreal. It's so healing for anybody that's, you know, just looking for, I don't know, because for me anyway, I walked into Collective Choir a couple of years ago. I saw you guys perform at Phoenix Park, and it was really neat. And I was actually just totally laser focused. My friends were trying to talk to me, and if you know me, then you know that that's weird that I'm totally focused on something.
Yeah.
And I noticed that people, they just loved each other like on stage, and that was so. I could see it. And I've now experienced that. And so it's very cool to be part of.
It strikes me as the kind of group where it's okay to just be.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You can just be there.
And honestly, I just want to thank Mike and his family for their sacrifice of just being in the, like, heading that up and providing that beautiful space and listening to the Lord. Because I know that you really do. You really seek his heart.
We're visiting with Collective Choir more right after this.
With Mike Rambo and Kat Jacoby from Collective Choir performing tonight, 5:30 to 6:30, virtually part of the Juneteenth commemoration going on in Eau Claire, really from 9 this morning until 8 tonight is the total virtual presentation. You guys from 5:30 to 6:30. So how is that going to work, Mike?
Well, it's interesting. It's all coming together. I mean, I think everybody's kind of figuring this out. But we're excited. This is a virtual display. There's one band that the lead singer wasn't feeling very well, so they're going to be streaming from their house. But the rest of us are going to set up at the Jamf Theater at the Pablo Center.
Nice.
And they have their tech crew that's going to help us broadcast. That was a way better plan than what I was going to do for our streaming. But,
wow.
Yeah.
Talk about the Lord providing.
That's right.
Sweet opportunity, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited. You know, when we enter into this conversation, there's a lot of community feelings. There's a lot of things that are happening and all sorts of narratives that are being thrown about, but I love to bring into this arena what the choir does. We proclaim Jesus, and that's the narrative that we can take to the bank, no matter what. And so I'm excited to we've three selections tonight that I chose because we need to hear it. They're actually new songs, so I wouldn't always lead out with new songs.
What are they? Can you tell us? What are
they? Yeah,
we're.
Okay, here we go, Kat. we're starting with House of God, which is a new Collective Choir song that we'll release in the fall probably. And it's about how, in Ephesians, about how Jesus removes the wall of hostility between the Jew and the Gentile and how we are living stones in his house. And so it's celebrating the family of God. And then we are coming around again with Open Up the Floodgates, which is the single that we're releasing for this concert on the 30th. We're going to try to get it out as soon as possible. So you might see it on Spotify or iTunes or different things like that beforehand and on our websites. But the Open Up the Floodgates really is a plea for the kingdom of God to come. And just, I was telling Caleb earlier, in my Bible studies, when we're in the writing process, I was brought into John chapter 7 at the height of the Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus crying out, "Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. And out of your bellies, as the scriptures say, will flow living waters." And this picture of healing flowing out from the people of God. We're excited to not only pray for the kingdom, but also to walk out the kingdom. And so we're excited to be able to sing that. And then we're going to close up with a Leon Bridges song, River. And we're excited.
Awesome.
I think that's fantastic. And again, we think about sometimes, I think of the Matthew West song, Do Something, right? Where I'm, looking at God and saying, do something. And he's like, I am. It's you. It's you. You are the kingdom. again, so what he has put in us should be coming out. And what is in our hearts, there will be an overflow of our hearts, whether it's good or evil. And the people of God, the overflow of our hearts should be grace and peace and unity and kindness and compassion and empathy and love. And again, every fruit of the Spirit. So
yeah.
I love the concept behind this song, Mike. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think your collective choir has sought to break down the barriers even as you built this across, you know, so many churches represented, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And across racial lines, economic lines.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that. I'd seen you before. You're not new to the game of racial justice because you guys have been regulars at the Martin Luther King Remembrance events in January.
Yeah.
And so we applaud you for tonight and encourage people. So what about taking in the June 30th event?
Yeah.
Anything people need to do in terms of getting tickets or how does that?
No, it's a free event. Okay. And it's purposefully lo-fi. Let people kind of self-police if they want to keep distance. People will probably be setting out. I think we'll be adhering to just good practices, you know.
But just from a fundraising standpoint, because you guys do have an event, something going on with Mary Kay that's been launched. So maybe just real briefly, how can people learn more about that?
Oh,
online
sure.
Online or?
Sure, yeah. You can go online. There's a Facebook group. You can go to our Facebook post off of Collective Choir, Facebook page, facebook.com/collectivechoir. We do have an online fundraiser right now that's going through tomorrow with Mary Kay products, really helpful. Melissa Westsat. And she's been donating all the profits to help us along. We're really needing that's going to be free will donations at the concert, and we're looking for people who have a kingdom heart and see what God's doing that want to come alongside, want to support us. So, you can go to our website as well.
I was just going to say, I just encourage people that if you've seen the Collective Choir or if you love what they do, well, we do, I guess, because it's me too. Please do give out of the ability that you have, because this all kind of goes back to supporting the mission and also Mike as well. And I'm bragging on you because I think that Mike brings this just amazing, unique array of gifts, and his heart for this is incredible. And I just really encourage people, yes, come to our concerts, but also if you can give, visit our website and or give to the Mary Kay. I mean, Mary Kay's for men and women, so, you know.
Skincare's for everyone.
Yes.
Skincare's for everyone. Give us your website one more time.
It's collectivechoir.org.
Collectivechoir.org for more details. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
This
is Danny Gokey. Love God, love people.
Who was alive when this opened? Mark.
Mark 11, would be it.
11 years old. Summer of 75. Memorable summer.
Did you go see it? Oh, you were how old? Five? Probably not.
Yeah, I remember my parents did.
Okay.
And it was just the theaters were packed. You know, it was kind of one of those things. I mean, we know Mike and Connie Olsen with Mike on. It's just the dream for the theater owner, right?
Yes.
A couple years later, Star Wars would pack the house.
Yeah.
A later summer, E.T. And so we didn't have all of... We barely had... In 1975, I mean, I don't think cable was even much of a thing, to be honest. It wasn't in our house. But it was quite the deal in terms of this giant shark, right? I mean, think about the response to Shark Week.
So, and it kind of built. So, again, Jaws turns 45. The film Jaws was released 45 years ago tomorrow. June 20th. It actually happens to be my brother Elijah's 16th birthday. So, happy early birthday, Elijah.
Released 45 years ago. Did you guys know? Here's just some fun things. It was the first movie in history to do $100 million in ticket sales.
And again, to try to appreciate that, I mean, you know, tickets, the prices were much smaller.
Yeah,
at
this is $1975.
Right.
That was a really huge
number. That was a monumental number. I wonder what that would come to like in today's with inflation.
I mean, you think about them shooting for $1 billion, right?
Wow.
Steven Spielberg was the director. How old? 26 years old.
Just a kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
None of the ocean shots in Jaws were fake. Spielberg insisted they all be shot in the ocean instead of a tank, like Hollywood would normally do.
Yeah.
Three mechanical sharks were used in the movie, the largest of which required 13 people to operate.
Mm-hmm.
13 people.
Yeah, Charlton Heston was supposed to play Police Chief Brody. Instead, it went to Roy Scheider.
Well, that's because Heston, when someone is being bitten by the shark, would just be like, let my person go.
Right.
Actress Susan Backlini was the first person attacked in the film.
Mm. Jaws received mostly positive reviews upon release. Robert Ebert called it a sensationally effective action picture, a scary thriller that works with or works all the better because it's populated with characters that have been developed into human beings.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert, for years, they were the PBS movie critics.
Thumbs up
with
or
a
thumbs down. Yeah,
exactly. Roger Ebert from Chicago.
Yes.
He was the Chicago Sun-Times critic. So.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, our collective fascination with sharks.
I know. Have you guys ever gone to Universal to see the big shark?
I have not.
I've been there.
No.
Super fun. I got a picture Dean standing right next to
I'm just thinking about like how hot it must have been to have 13 people operating that mechanical shark.
So how big is Dean compared to the shark?
He is wee. He is little.
Happy 45th tomorrow.
The music is great.
Absolutely iconic. And now, who did the score? Was it John Williams? Did he do the score for
Star Wars? I don't know.
I don't think so. I love the iconic shot of the chief on the beach where it like zooms like kind of out but in at the same time.
Google has just exonerated me. It is John Williams.
It was John Williams.
We know about him more for the Star Wars. Yeah.
He's multi-talented. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.